All right, Matthew chapter 1, here's the title of the message, and it is this: Jesus Christ, the Son of David, the Son of Abraham. And so we are beginning our Christmas series today, and we will continue on Wednesday nights for the next two Wednesdays, looking at the life of David. So we will continue a regular study on Wednesday nights. I hope that you could come for that. And we begin at 6 o'clock with prayer, and then there's several classes here on Wednesday, so we'd love to have you for that as well. But for now and through the next three Sundays, we're going to be looking at the conception, the birth, and the lineage of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you, Lord, for the joy that it is to open your word, to be able to be reminded of the things that we do know. There are so many things that are convoluted in this season, and I certainly believe much of it is the work of the devil to distort or even to cause us to even doubt the things that we do know. And so, Lord, we pray that as we open your word today, that it will resonate in our heart as this is the truth, and so much of the other that has been added to it, Lord, that will set it aside, but not set aside one of the greatest doctrines in the Scriptures, and that is the virgin birth of the only begotten Son of God, Jesus Christ. Now, Lord, now I pray, as we've already read your word, pray that you'll open our eyes, open our hearts, give us understanding, and Lord, may we leave this place not only the wiser, but leave it also more appreciative of your grace. Throughout this chapter, we will see the reminder of God's grace. Lord, bless now as we study your word in Christ's name. Amen. I do want to invite you, if you have your outline there, if you would go through it with me. It's a little bit longer maybe than I normally would, and I hope it's not too academic. But let's begin with this. As you and I open our Bibles this morning and we study in the Scriptures, we're reminded of the paternal and the maternal lineage of Jesus Christ. As I was thinking about Christ, thinking about his birth, I reflected on mine own. On one side of my family, my father's side of the family, well, you have the Smiths and you have the Funderburgs, the maternal side and the paternal side. And then on my mother's side of the family, you have the Whitleys and the Hudsons. I know you're impressed, but I thought I would just share that with you. When we come to Christ, we are looking at, you're going to find two different lineages. Now, that might surprise you, but it really shouldn't. Now, we're going to look at the paternal lineage of Christ, and that would be not his heavenly father, but the earthly man who served as his adopted father, and that would be Joseph. Then we're going to also look this morning at the maternal side, and that, of course, is Mary and her lineage. Now, they are the same all the way through King David, but at King David, they divide. And we're going to share with you why that's true today. It is essential that they divide. And that might surprise you a little bit. And so you have your Bible there. Notice with me then Matthew chapter 1 and verse 1. Here we read, "The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham." Now, if you were of Jewish descent or you're really familiar with the Old Testament scriptures, you recognize the book of the generation or these are the generations. And so you see that throughout the Old Testament, the importance of one's lineage. I'll give you a couple of for instances. Genesis chapter 5 and verse 1, this is the book of the generations of Adam. Then Genesis chapter 6 and verse 9, these are the generations of Noah. And so as we read Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, the book of the generation, we understand that by that it means the account of or the genealogical record of Jesus Christ. Now, being the son of David, he is of royal descent. Being the son of Abraham, he is descended and is a partaker in God's covenant with Abraham. In fact, as you read the Old Testament, you're going to remember there are many chapters that the whole chapter is devoted to a genealogical record. Begat, 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 begat. In fact, there's some 50 lineages that are recorded in the Old Testament. And so as you and I come today and we open our Bible to Matthew chapter 1, we notice the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you turn in your Bible, and we'll look at it in a moment, to Luke chapter 3, you have another genealogy. Now, they are similar to some sense, and yet when it comes to the time of David, they differ, they divide, and we're going to share with you why that is true. Now, let's go back to Matthew 1 and verse 1. The book, the ancestral account, the genealogical accounting of Jesus Christ, the son of David being his royal line, being also the son of Abraham. So we're covering both the royal line and also the covenant line descended from Abraham. Now, the second thought up here is in Matthew chapter 1, we actually have recorded a sequence of 42 different generations. Now, one's genealogy was essential if you were Jewish. The reason for that is that the tribal lands were assigned to families. So you have the 12 tribes of Israel. Each of those 12 tribes had their own geographical region in the land we know as Israel. So in order to be an heir of land, you must prove that you are of a lineage. If you're a son of Judah, you must be able to trace your birth lineage to prove that you are indeed a son of Judah. If you could not prove your lineage, then you would not be an heir at all of any land portion. So I wanted to make that very clear as we open our Bibles this morning. And then another thing too, let's say that if you are in an office, let's say the priestly office, you must, in order to be a priest, must prove that you are derived from the lineage of the Aaronic, if you would, priesthood itself. In fact, if you cannot, you would be put out of the priesthood. I'll give you an illustration of that. I believe it's in a verse up here. Ezra chapter 2, verse 62. Here's the background of this verse. Israel had been in Babylon for 70 years. God provided a way of that nation freed them to come back to the land of Israel. When they did so, there were some who claimed to be Levites, that is, priests, descended in the priesthood itself. And so they wanted to practice being a priest in Israel. Well, there was a search of the genealogical records of Israel, and some of those who claimed to be priests could not prove that they were of the lineage of Levi. And as a result, in this verse here, we read, Ezra 2, verse 62, these sought their register among those that were reckoned by genealogy, but they were not found. Therefore were they as polluted and put from the priesthood. Now, a note. A man would be disqualified from an inheritance without a clear bloodline. Now that is important. On your outline, write down the first thought. The genealogical record of Jesus, who is called Christ. There are two gospels that give us the genealogy of Christ. The first one is the Gospel of Matthew. You have your Bible there, Matthew, again, chapter 1. Now, here's the thought with this. How does Matthew's Gospel and Luke's Gospel, how do they differ? Matthew's Gospel records the paternal side lineage of Christ. And you'll notice in Matthew chapter 1, it actually begins with Abraham, and it ascends through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that is what you find in this. Now, let me invite you and open your Bible. Not all of this is going to be on the PowerPoint, and I want you to follow with me. You have your Bible, Matthew chapter 1, look at verse 16. And Jacob, we read, begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. Now, if you look at the verses prior to Matthew 1, verse 16, you're going to see the word begat, begat. In fact, you can go beginning in verse 2, Abraham begat Isaac, Isaac begat Jacob, Jacob begat Judas and his brethren, and so on. And you go all the way down now to verse 16. And we read in verse 16, and Jacob begat Joseph. Joseph's father was named Jacob, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. Notice verse 16 changes. It doesn't say that Joseph begat Jesus. It says that Jacob begat Joseph, but it does not anywhere in the scriptures does it say that Joseph begat Jesus. That is central to what you and I know and believe regarding Jesus Christ. I think this is on your outline. Here's the implication of Matthew 1 and verse 16. And it is that while Jacob begat Joseph, Joseph did not begat Jesus. And so here's the question. Then who was the father of Jesus? And the answer is verse 18. Matthew 1 and verse 18, and we read, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child. Now here's the answer. Who was the father of Mary's son? She was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Matthew 1, look at verse 20. But while he, Joseph, thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And so the Bible makes it very clear in Matthew chapter 1, Joseph is not the father of Jesus, but Jesus is the son of Mary. So whence does Christ come? And the answer is by the Holy Ghost. Now somebody could say, well, explain that, preacher. I can't explain it. I just believe it. And so if Jesus had been born of the seed of Joseph, he would have been a man like I am. And he would have borne the nature of Joseph. Across this auditorium, every man, every woman bears the nature, the spiritual nature of your father and your mother, but your father particularly. We understand that a bloodline goes through the seed of the father. And so that's why the scriptures is very careful to make sure that we understand that Joseph is not the father of Jesus. In fact, this little section of scripture that we read this morning that's going to be read all over the world, beginning in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 17 and going on down, and we read about Joseph and he's wrestling in his heart about what will he do about Mary. Mary is with child. Now we know that the scripture says that Mary went away and she was away for a season, several months. And when she returned, she was great with child. Now, Joseph, having not met with Mary yet, but having heard perhaps, maybe having seen Mary, but he sees that she is great with child. And so he goes home, and perhaps it is on his bed there that he's wrestling in his heart, what am I going to do about Mary? Well, under the law, the decision was made, and that was one of stoning one that had committed adultery, that had committed fornication. Now, we understand from Jewish history that wasn't often practiced. But the reality was the loss of one's virginity, the commitment of fornication and adultery, was a serious offense. And I would pause there, and I would encourage our young people this morning, our sons and daughters. I realize that the world has sold out on this matter of purity, but you should not follow them. The loss of one's purity and one's innocence, believe me, regardless of what the world says, it is a tragic loss. And we need to remember that as God's people in a culture that has thrown purity to the wind and cares nothing for innocence. May you and I value, even as we're reminded of Christ and His conception, the premium that God places on purity. Amen? Notice with me then as we go on then. Matthew chapter 1, verse 20, Joseph's told that Mary has conceived a son, and the son is of the Holy Ghost. Again, look at verse 22 and 23. Not all of this will be on this PowerPoint. Now, verse 22 and 23. Now, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name," what? "Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. Now, the prophet that is being quoted is the prophet Isaiah. And in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, we read, "Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name," say it with me, "Emmanuel." Our kids in school this past Thursday, a wonderful program. I appreciate all that Pastor Peterman and Mrs. Henry put into that program, but they ended it on what is really my, has become my favorite at Christmas, "Emmanuel, Emmanuel." It's such a beautiful song that reminds us that Emmanuel means simply this: God, what? With us. Now, have your Bible. Turn with me to Luke chapter 3. Again, I'm trying not to be too academic, but this is important. There's so much misinformation. Let's deal with the truth that we find in the scripture. So in Luke chapter 3, now what's the difference in Matthew's gospel and Luke's gospel when it comes to the genealogy of Jesus Christ? Matthew's gospel was paternal from the point of Joseph's lineage. But as we come to Luke's gospel, it is, I believe, maternal. That is, it changes, and you're going to notice that change in just a moment. So Luke's gospel presents the maternal lineage of Christ, beginning with Jesus and descending. Now, here's the uniqueness of it. As you have your Bible there, Luke chapter 3 and verse 23, we begin with Jesus as a grown man. And Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph, which was the son of Heli. Now, let me take you through your notes there just for another point. Luke's gospel presents the maternal lineage of Christ. It begins with Jesus, but then it descends through King David, Luke chapter 3, verse 31, and then Abraham, Luke chapter 3, verse 34, and then finally in verse 38, Adam, the first man. Now go back, Matthew chapter 1. Matthew began with Abraham, and it ascended to Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, Christ. But as you come to Luke, it goes in reverse. It actually begins with Christ beginning his earthly ministry, and then it begins to descend all the way down through to Adam, the first man. Now, why was that important? Because Adam, the first man, was the sinner. He is the father of our race. And his nature of sin has been passed on to generation, to generation, to generation, down to our generation. But Christ, when he was born, was not of the seed of Joseph, nor the seed of Adam. But Mary was. Now, you have your Bible. Let's look a little bit here. Now, notice this verse, verse 23. Jesus began to be about 30 years of age. Now, he's beginning his ministry. What is interesting, in the book of Numbers, in fact, it's Numbers chapter 4, that you see two times that the age of 30 was the beginning of one's priesthood. If you had been trained and taught in the Old Testament scriptures, you at age 30 as a child of the tribe of Levi would begin your public ministry at 30 years of age. And then look at verse again, Luke 3, verse 23. Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being, notice the words, as was supposed. That is, it was believed, it was legally reckoned that Jesus was the son of Joseph. Now, that was the common belief. Now, as you look back at history, there were a lot of rumors that have been part of the legacy of Jesus Christ. And those rumors, though, have always tried to drive a wedge between the prophecy of Christ being born of a virgin and the reality of who Jesus Christ was. And so it was supposed, it was believed, it was reckoned by anyone that knew Joseph and Mary that Jesus was the son of Joseph. But look further. In this here, you see then, Luke 3:23 states simply this, the son of Eli. If you would go back to that earlier one, Sheila. No, you had it. We're waiting. Dramatic pause here in the message. Here we go. Now, who was the father of Joseph in Matthew chapter 1? Hold your hand. Let's go back. She's not going to turn the PowerPoint for you. So I'm going to invite you to go back. Verse 16 of Matthew 1, and Jacob begat Joseph. Yet we come here and we read that the son of Joseph, which was the son of Eli. So do we have a discrepancy? Do we have a difficulty, a contradiction in the scripture? Is there something that is wrong in the scripture and it's imperfect? And the answer is no. And so we're dealing with a different lineage at this point. So if it's not the lineage of Joseph, then whose lineage is this? And the answer is, it's Mary, the son of Eli. In fact, some of the names that follow after that, and I'm not going to take the time to go through it, in Luke chapter 3, beginning at verse 23, but if you drew a parallel of these two passages, Matthew 1 and Luke chapter 3, you would realize they're very different. Because they are different lineages until you come to David. And in verse 31, the son of Nathan, which was the son of David, not the son of Solomon. So this is not the lineage of David and Solomon. This is the lineage of David and a son named Nathan. They are both royal lineages, but one is not the descendant of Solomon, and that would be Mary. She's the descendant of Nathan, the son of David. Well, on your outline, let's go to the next part. An accurate record of Jesus' lineage, then, is essential for Jesus to be Christ. Christ being the anointed one, the Messiah. Now, another thought that goes with that then is this. To be the heir to the throne of David, Jesus' claim to be the son of David, the son of Abraham, must be reported by a record of his genealogy. Now, think about that. Do you realize today that there are no Jewish people that can, with absolute certainty, prove an unbroken lineage as a Jewish man or woman all the way back to Abraham? There are absolutely none. In fact, the genealogical records that the Jews kept so precisely and with such pride over the years were destroyed in A.D. 70. Do you know what happened in A.D. 70? Rome destroyed Jerusalem and the temple. And with that destruction was all of the records of genealogy that had been kept through the centuries. Now, with that said, Jesus Christ is the only man whose claim to be the Messiah can be justified by the record of his lineage. There is none other. No one can come, and there are Jewish people that are looking and waiting to this day for the Messiah to come. But even if they begin to look to one as the Messiah, he cannot prove his genealogy. He will be at an absolute loss. So you and I, as we read through the Scriptures and we read the Old Testament about the virgin birth of the child that is to come, and we read over in Isaiah chapter 9, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given," we realize that the only one that can possibly meet all the criteria of those things that have been prophesied regarding the coming of the Messiah is Jesus Christ. There is no one else. Now that is the truth about Christmas. Now on your outline, let's fill this in quickly. And again, I hope it's not too academic today. But the lineage of Joseph and Mary were Abrahamic and Davidic. They had that in common. Both were children of Abraham, covenant-wise as well as the children of David. They were both of the royal family of David. In fact, with Abraham, we know that the covenant there, Genesis 12 and verse 3 read, "I will bless them that bless thee, curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." Let me say this about Israel today. And I realize, I listened to an interview in Congress, I believe it was, with four presidents of secular colleges. Did any of you see some of those interviews? And it was awful to watch these college presidents sit there, and in the matter of anti-Semitism, they refuse to condemn it. And yet the protest on campus in support of Palestine was that Israel should be driven out of the land, and that Palestine should become from the sea all the way to the river, I guess it is, that. And they refuse to condemn it. Fortunately, at least one has already had to resign. But this verse here, Genesis 12 and verse 3, I believe is still true. That God will bless us as a nation when we are confident and is certain that we should be a blessing to the Jewish people. Now, you might disagree, but you're going to have a hard time scripturally standing on your disagreement. And so Genesis 12 and verse 3, "I will bless them that bless thee, curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." So who is it that will come through the lineage of Abraham and to whom all the world would be blessed? And the answer is none other than Jesus Christ. Now with David, let's look at David. Now the royal line, the royal lineage of David. Let's look at it for a moment. 2 Samuel 7 and verse 16. "And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever." And so the covenant with David is that there would be an heir, there would be a son whose kingdom would be eternal. It would never end. Another, 2 Samuel 7 and verse 25, "And now, O Lord God," David accepting the covenant with the Lord, "the word that thou hast spoken concerning thy servant and concerning his house, establish it forever and do as thou hast said." So God said, "I will bless you and your kingdom will last for generations forever." David says, "And I will believe you and I accept it." Again, who is going to fulfill that promise? Then another thought on your outline. And that is the lineage of Joseph and Mary, though, differs after David. I've already mentioned that to you. I'm going to invite you to look with me again at Matthew chapter 1 and look at verse 6 and 7. In verse 6, and Jesse begat David the king, and David the king begat Solomon. Of her they had been the wife of Uriah. And then we could go on at verse 7. Solomon begat Rehoboam. Rehoboam begat Abiah. And then we could go on and on with the different ones that were kings in the lineage of David and Solomon. But when we come to the book of Luke, Solomon is not mentioned. In fact, as you look at your Bible again, Luke chapter 3, and I don't know that it's on the PowerPoint, but verse 31, which was the son of Melai, I believe it is Melai, which was the son of Mena, which was the son of Matha, which was the son of Nathan, which was the son of David. And so the lineage in Luke chapter 3 is not through Solomon, it's through Nathan. And so the question is, why not Solomon? And here's the answer. Matthew chapter 1, again, I don't think it's on the PowerPoint, verse 11. Matthew 1 and verse 11. This is the bloodline of Solomon. Matthew 1, verse 11. And Josias begat Jeconias and his brethren about the time that they were carried away into Babylon. So it was during the reign of Jeconias that he and Israel were finally deported by Nebuchadnezzar. They were removed to Babylon. And then we come to verse 12. And after they were brought to Babylon, Jeconias begat Salathiel, and Salathiel begat Zerubbabel. Now, those names don't mean a whole lot to you right now until you know the background. Now remember, the royal line of our Savior, Joseph, was from the line of David and Solomon. Mary, though, would have been from the line of David and his son Nathan. So here's a question. Why was Solomon's lineage set aside when it comes to Christ? And the answer is in Jeremiah. You might even want to turn there. Jeremiah chapter 22. Jeremiah 22, and here we read in verse 28, is this man Coniah, that's Jeconiah in Matthew chapter 1, is this man Coniah a despised broken idol? Is he a vessel wherein is no pleasure? Wherefore are they cast out, watch, he and his seed, his sons, his lineage, and are cast into a land which they know not, that being Babylon. Verse 29, the prophet cries, O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. Verse 30, thus saith the Lord regarding the lineage of Solomon, now through Jeconiah, thus saith the Lord, write ye this man childless, a man that shall not prosper in his day, for no man of his seed shall prosper. Now let me stop there. We know that Jeconiah had children. But the prophecy and the judgment of the Lord is that his children would not prosper. The word here, childless, I put it up there, can be translated, would be banished. We know, according to Matthew chapter 1, that Jeconiah did have sons. But the judgment of God was that those sons would never reign in Israel again. Because of the wickedness of Coniah, the wickedness of Jeconiah, that lineage had been set aside. Now, are they of the royal line of David? The answer is yes. However, Joseph, he is not in the line that could be king. He is in a royal line. But because of God's judgment in Jeremiah 22 and verse 30, his line was set aside. Let me finish that verse then. No man of his seed shall prosper sitting upon the throne of David and ruling any more in Judah. See, we would have a problem if we said, well, Christ, Jesus Christ, is the heir of David's throne. because his father was Joseph. That would be a problem. Because the Jewish people who know their Bible, they would say, it can't be. Joseph cannot have a son who would reign as king in Israel. Why? Because the Bible says that he was judged. Kaniah, that line, was judged. So even in little things like this are major things for us to know just how perfect is the way of God. He makes no mistake, does he? Now, you have your Bible there then. I'm going to, some of this will not be on the PowerPoint. You might want to write the verses down. Luke chapter 1 and verse, Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise when his mother Mary was the spouse of Joseph before they came together. And so here it is. Jesus was not the physical, but legally adopted son of Joseph. He was not the son of Joseph physically, of his seed, but he was Joseph's son, as was supposed by everyone that saw him. Legally, he was Joseph's eldest son, though not the son of his flesh. Here's some other verses. Luke chapter 1 and verse 34 said, then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Luke chapter 4, Matthew chapter 12 and verse 23, and Jesus is casting out demons, and some that knew him question, is not this the son of David? And so the people in general recognize that Jesus was of the lineage of David. Here's another. In Luke chapter 4 and verse 22, Jesus is teaching in the synagogue in his hometown of Nazareth. And the people, after listening to him, they began to ask one another, is not this Joseph's son? John chapter 1 and verse 45, Philip, introducing Jesus to Nathanael, said to Nathanael, we have found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. John chapter 6 and verse 42, the people began to murmur and they said, is not this the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? And so through the lineage of Joseph, we know that Christ could not have claimed the throne, though he is of a legally of the royal line. And so how then can he be the king? And the answer is lineally through Mary. On your outline, Jesus had a lineal claim to David's throne through his mother, Mary. Two verses, and I hope you still have your Bible there. Matthew chapter 1, verse 16. And Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. Matthew 1 and verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise when his mother Mary was a spouse. That is, we would use the term engaged today, legally married but not physically consummated their marriage. Mary was a spouse to Joseph before they came together, had never been together as husband and wife, and yet she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Well, we need to finish, so let's finish this up quickly and fill in your outline. The genealogical record then of Jesus Christ's lineage in the Gospel of Matthew, and I think this is probably the most important point that I could make today, is a testimony of God's grace. A testimony of God's grace. Let me give you really four or five reasons why. Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. The book of the generations of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And Abraham begat Isaac. Here's a question. Was Abraham a perfect man? What's the answer? No, not at all. We could go through Abraham's choices at his choices would be horrific choices. Twice he passed off his wife as being his sister rather than claiming who she really was, and that is as his wife. And we would look at that, so that was horrific. He put at risk not only Sarah, but he put at risk God's promises. Abraham was not a perfect man. But then we ask the question, we read again. Jesus was the son of David. Here's another question. Was David a perfect man? No. David was an adulterer with Bathsheba. Then David had Uriah, her husband, murdered. In fact, as you have your Bible there, I would invite you to look with me at verse 6, Matthew 1 and verse 6. And we read here, Jesse begat David the king, and David the king begat Solomon of her that had been the wife of Uriah. I find it interesting that Bathsheba is not even mentioned. When Matthew, who is writing to, I believe, Jewish readers who are going to be reading his gospel, and he is writing, he makes a point of not saying Bathsheba, but he reminds his readers she was the wife of another man, and his name was Uriah. But then I want to close with what I find to be wonderful testimonies of God's grace. Four women, and I've preached this before. In fact, I preached on each of these women in the past on different Sundays leading up to celebrating the birth of Christ. I want to invite you on your outline there to write this, that Jesus was descended from four women whose lives testify to God's redeeming and forgiving grace. Let me ask you this morning. Don't raise your hand. Do any of you have skeletons in your closet? Now, don't raise your hand and don't point at somebody, all right? But it's amazing when you look back at your family tree and your family history, and you may find out, like I did on, well, one particular uncle, that he was not a very good man at all, you know? And so as we look at this family tree of Jesus Christ, I would dare say that any of us would want to say, by the way, let me tell you about my ancestors. Well, let's look at the ancestors. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 3. Let's look at Tamar. She's found in verse 3. And Judas begat Perez and Zerah of Tamar. And Perez begat Ezraim and Ezraim begat Aram. Now, let's pause there. Judas begat Perez and Zerah of Tamar. Do you remember Tamar? Tamar committed incest with Judas, her father-in-law. Remember that story? I would say that's scandalous, wouldn't you? She tricked him. She pretended, dressed herself like a harlot as she was sitting by the wayside, by the road, and Judas passes by, and he negotiates with her to win her favor for a night. Well, in order to do that, she had a price. And said, well, what's your price? He said, I'll offer you a kid. I'll offer you a goat. And says, well, give me some surety. Give me something to prove until you give me the kid for the goat, right? The goat. And so he gave her, I think it was her band and a staff. And then he had his pleasure. Well, then when he sent the goat, the kid, to her as payment for her favor, he found out that she was with child, and then what happened? He would have had her killed until he realized the child was his own. So we have Tamar, and yet here she is in the lineage of Jesus Christ. Look at another. Look with me at verse 5. In verse 5, we read, and Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab. You say, well, who's Rahab? Rahab. When I say the name Rahab, what do you think? Rahab what? The harlot. Well, let me tell you about my family tree. One of my mothers committed incest, and another of my mothers, well, she was a prostitute in Jericho. And yet, here we see her name. And Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab. What's her name doing in this lineage? But we don't stop there. We go on to Boaz, and he begat Obed of Ruth. Do you remember where Ruth came from? She's a Moabite, an idolater, of Gentile heathen origin. And who are the Moabites? They are descended from Lot's incest with his daughter. Now, if you and I were writing our biography, we'd probably skip some of those names, right? It would be saying, well, some things are better off not said, right? Or maybe somebody, part of your family, they're looking at you writing this family tree out, and they say, well, can't you just skip that? I mean, does everybody have to know about that? And what's the answer? Yeah, they do. You see, it's all about God's grace. It's all about God's grace. But we can't even stop there. We have to go to Matthew chapter 1 and verse 6. And Jesse begat David the king, and David the king begat Solomon of Bathsheba, of her that had been the wife of Uriah's. And so now we have another adulterer. The four women that are in this family tree, and only the four are named until you come to Mary, who makes the fifth. But the four are notorious women. They are outcast. And yet, they are engrafted in the lineage of Jesus Christ. And what do you call that? Grace. Grace. I need to close. My time is gone. Let me say this to you this morning. The lineage of Christ is a testimony of God's grace and love for sinners. Why are those names there? Because God wanted to remind us it's all about His grace. Ephesians 2 and verses 8 through 9. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Your Savior is born the son of David, the son of Abraham. His lineage is recorded, and there is no doubt, no other man that has ever lived can prove that they are the son of David, the son of Abraham, and the covenant promises of God are with them, except for Jesus Christ. When we celebrate this season of Christmas, let's remember it's about God's grace through Christ. Here's my question today. Is He your Savior? He accepts and even engrafts into Him at times the most notorious of sinners. And He is only able to do that by grace because of the faith of those we have studied. Is He your Savior this morning? Heads bowed and eyes closed.